And welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Still to come on the program, my good friend, now a radio host at Auburn, Barrett Coleman from FM Talk 93.9. We'll talk about the upcoming election and his outlook. And then at the bottom of the hour, in the next hour, State House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter. We'll talk to him. It looks like just while this show was going on, he has a press conference tomorrow. Well, Governor Ivey, maybe we could get some of the scoop there. So stay tuned, if you will. But joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest from the Alabama Policy Institute, has a new op-ed out, Waiting on the Big Tech World to Change. Phil Williams joins us. Senator, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you today?
Just surviving, I guess. I usually like to say living the dream, but I guess right now it's surviving the dream.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I'm ready to wake up from this dream, to be honest with you. Election day cannot get here soon enough.
Yeah, and it's like we're talking during the break, though. It just seems like this will go on for a while, but maybe there's some relief in sight. Let's get to your op-ed here that you put out yesterday. Big tech, and it's kind of like we don't realize how reliant upon these social media companies are we really reliant upon them as we think we are? How many people actually get news from these outlets? But aside from what they do, putting the thumb on the scales when it comes to politics, election, policy, etc., that's where people start paying real close attention to what's going on here. It's hard for me to say, is this a solution in need of a problem? Is it that big of a problem? But here lately, it seems to become more and more of something that people are paying attention to.
Yeah, I agree. And you have to use it. You have no choice. But I mean, you can choose not to do Facebook or Twitter, but you almost cannot survive these days, especially in business, without Google. And for the Attorney General of the United States of America to decide that there's a real problem and file an antitrust action against Google, I mean, that tells you something. This is not just, man, it just feels like they're everywhere. No, they are everywhere. And the reality is, where I stole the line for the title of my op-ed was from that song by John Mayer, Waiting on the World to Change. He has one line in there that says, when you own the information, you can bend it all you want. And that's exactly what's happening here. Recent studies have shown, Jeff, that I think it's 80% of all internet searches and 94% of the searches that are done on mobile devices are all done on Google. And so if they don't want you to trend, if they don't want you to get your ads out, well, guess what? They're not going to get out. Same is true with news. Apparently, according to a Pew Research study that was done in October of 2019, 52% of all American adults get their news from either Facebook or 17% from Twitter. So you're looking at a massive impact on society and where we seek information and how we trend our products, our services, whatever. It's a big, big deal. And if they're going to bend the information, we got to deal with it.
Well, typically, though, as conservatives, we frown upon the idea of government coming in and intervening in any level, but we want the marketplace to solve this, and the hope would be, well, you don't like what Facebook and Twitter are doing, vote with your feet, or vote with your dollars, go away, go find something else. But the problem is, there's nothing really else that's comparable.
No, that's exactly right, and yes, you know, at API and me personally, we stand for the idea of free markets and the fact that you build a better mousetrap, the market will come to you because you took the risk, you laid it out there. And so certainly it's a reasonable argument on behalf of all three of those platforms to say, well, listen, we invested huge amounts of money in this. We've built the better mousetrap. Go build one of your own if you think you can do it better. Well, when they've had the laws construed in their favor such that no one has a say and you've limited the ability of others to build that better mousetrap, well, then you begin to violate free markets yourself, and you are into what we look at in terms of monopolization or antitrust, as the legal terms would apply. So it's a big hairy deal, and I really think what we're going to have to do is figure out how to rein them in without crushing free market principles. And that's a tough nut, but it's one that has to be done. And it's, by the way, it's across the board, man. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard, who to me is probably one of the, as a Republican, is one of the scariest Democrats out there, because she could appeal to moderate Republicans easily. She literally had to file suit against Google last year because they would not allow her campaign ads as a sitting congresswoman and a presidential candidate to trend where she was trying to advertise. And that's wrong. They were tipping the scales in favor of their chosen Democrats, not her. So anyway, it something's got to be done about it, and it's time that people paid attention on both sides of the aisle.
Well, they had this Section 230 protection, and this is where we could get into where maybe there's some unfairness here. So if I take a phone call on this radio show and someone says something crazy, false, defamatory, FM Talk 106.5 could be held liable, whereas the rules of the game are not as strict with social media or with the internet. So I mean, what kind of shock to the marketplace would it send if they thought about doing something and to curb back some of those privileges that are afforded to these social media companies by that Section 231 or 230 provision?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Section 230 provision came out of legislation that was passed well before we saw the internet really doing what it does now. And Section 230 literally provides protections that they can claim a shield of immunity, in a sense, from things that are put on their platform. And yet they are also given authority under Section 230 to take down those things they find, quote, objectionable. The problem is, what they find objectionable has begun to be a real issue. And so what they've done is it was literally passed originally, by the way, as part of a broader legislation to prevent children from having access to pornography on the internet. Well, okay, but they've morphed it now into, if they don't like conservative values, if they don't like a moderate Democrat position, they can just make sure that nothing is said favorably about them, and basically shut down the discourse in the public square. But they've got other protections too. It's amazing what's out there. There's a case called New York Times v. Sullivan that was decided in 1964, I believe. And that case literally set the standard for saying, if you are a media outlet, a public figure has a very difficult time suing you for slander or libel, because they're a public figure. Well, no one saw the days of online blogs coming where they could say anything they want to about anyone. Look at Brett Kavanaugh and what he went through. That was not all news. A lot of that was conjecture and spite and pure vitriol in an attempt to tear down a man's character. And they can't be sued for it. And Justice Thomas himself has said it's probably time to revisit New York Times v. Sullivan. So they're hiding behind some serious legal protections, and their lobbyists are keeping them shielded. And it's time, though, that Congress and the courts wake up and see this.
Well, let's consider this. Let's take Amazon, for example. They start out as kind of this online book swap purchase platform, and now they have morphed into the everything of the internet, the Walmart of the internet, the online marketplace. But they also own the Washington Post, where they have slowly been accumulating power, made Jeff Bezos one of the richest men in the world, and very powerful when it comes to the ability to influence government and politics. I would think a lot of people would be uncomfortable with not just the commerce power, but also the influence that an entity like that could have in our lives. Should you have these all-encompassing that do everything internet companies like Google and Amazon?
You know, it's crazy. There's all kinds of science fiction movies and you know, dystopian novels out there about the big corporation that began to rule the world. And I used to kind of laugh at that. Corporations are not government. Well, I got news. They are, and this is not a conspiracy theory. I'm just saying that truthfully, corporations are trying to set public policy now. I can't tell you how many times in Montgomery that I would have somebody from, say, Apple come down there to lobby me on a bill that was absolutely liberal and not fit for Alabama's constituency, to knowing that they would not want it. but it was a corporation that was pressing it, and it was not about, hey, help my corporation. It was about social policy and public policy, and so they are using their clout to try and shape society the way they would like, and they're shielded by the laws as they do so. And, you know, again, if they own the information, they can bend it all they want, and so that's got to be given strong consideration here.
One of the, curious things to me is with these big tech companies, they're successful, they're making money. I mean, and, some of them are just practically a printing press. They're willing to get into the realm of politics. They're willing to go into this lane that's going to draw scrutiny from Congress, that's going to draw the ire of the public. There just seems to be no guardrails here. They're willing to go into this realm, and you really wonder, like, well, what is the end game really? Is this something ideological that they really do want a better America, or maybe it's something bigger than that? Maybe they want to do something that would really improve their standing from a business standpoint.
I think it's a little of both. I mean, they want to continue making money, but they want to continue shaping society. And they've gone well beyond being the online version of the corner store where we buy our milk and bread. They are now becoming a force in politics. And truthfully, a Google, an Amazon, a Twitter, a Facebook, the amount of financial leverage they have, they can buy virtually any candidate they want to, they can buy a candidate for any race they want to. How about that? They could literally, one of those companies alone could exceed the amount of funding for the President of the United States' race than we're seeing in general right now through standard fundraising, should they find the means to do so. You know, we do have some campaign finance laws they got to work around. But all said and done, yeah, they are extending huge influence while also expanding their opportunity to continue making money to then pay for that influence.
Well, this is another problem here. We were talking a little bit about the marketplace being the solution here. As conservatives, that's where our instincts should guide us. If Jeff Poor and Phil Williams wanted to go start up a rival to Facebook, and we started our own version, except it had something new. I don't know what it would be, but whatever. We're trying to make the better, smarter mousetrap, and we succeed. The problem is these companies are so big, they just buy you. They just throw a bunch of money at you, and they make your idea part of theirs, and they are able to continue this status quo.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, you're seeing right now, and I know some people that have signed up for it, but Parler is the new game in town. And Parler is saying that it is available for conservatives and will not limit their position. And so, you know, you've got folks like Dan Bongino, who is advertising Parler on his personal website. And so, yeah, there's going to be startups they're going to try. The question is going to be, do they get bought out? And then again, when they're advertising, will Google, if Google has an alliance with Facebook, allow their ads to trend? And so, again, they are so large right now that they are poised to be able to shut down other opportunities for competition. And when you shut down competition and you override all competition to the extent that no one can compete, that's when you have a monopoly, and that's when the laws of the United States of America have to come into play.
Well, then I guess my next fear would be, okay, message received, Congress decides they need to act, and anytime government gets involved, it becomes a scary proposition. But they create the Bureau of Social Media Equality or whatever, and it starts out with the intention of keeping these tech giants from getting too one-sided in the realm of politics, but then it becomes something more than that. It's the slippery slope that once government gets its foot in the door, then maybe they look at ways to regulate even more. It's almost like the fairness doctrine for talk radio, if you recall. And then that turned out to be something. Yeah, so, like, you know, where do you maintain that balance, if you will?
No, that's a great point. If you see government trying to create government to, you know, regulate industry, always look at it with a sideways glance and make sure that what you're seeing makes sense. You know, a classic example of what the Alabama legislature was considering this past spring before they shut down for coronavirus was, you know, a marijuana bill, which would have, by the way, stood up a brand new cannabis commission that would have had arrest authority and regulatory authority and, you know, paid employees, and they were basically building government for a thing. And that is not what we're about here. What we're looking at is let the free markets run, but the markets have to be free. And if they're going to wind up putting a heavy hand on one side of society to the limitation of the other and be the only game in town, that has to be considered, but it can be considered in the courts. It doesn't have to be considered in the establishment of new bureaucracy.
Senator, we got to leave it there. Folks want to find out more about the Alabama Policy Institute. Do they want to follow you on social media? Point them in the right direction.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. You can find us at www.alabamapolicy.org. And then I'm also on the much-vaunted Twitter at Sin Phil Williams. So thanks, Jeff. I appreciate your time.
As always, we appreciate you making time for us. That was former State Senator Phil Williams here on the program. We got to work in a break here. We will return